Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. Appreciate you joining us every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, High Top Talk 1370 Worldwide Headquarters over here in West Austin. As I always like to say, Austin's the nation's 11th largest city and growing fast despite the coronavirus and the economic sideways movement, so to speak. But appreciate you joining us, and be sure and check us out. As we always say, you're either an insider or you're not, at texasinsider.org, where we post about a dozen or so articles every day, keeping you on the inside of Texas politics, texasinsider.org, or you too can be one of our Facebook and Twitter followers, just at Texas Insider, where we're growing on a daily basis. And boy, howdy, what, again, another kind of a quiet week, I guess, in terms of the typical controversy and things like that. Although we've got statues being torn down across the country, we've got riots continuing to take place in places from Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington on the West Coast, all the way over to Washington, D.C. on the East Coast, where they're trying to tear down. And this is just typical. I guess I'll get started with the protests this week. The protesters and rioters and destructors of our national monuments and so forth. If you go to Texas Insider right now, we've got an article up there entitled, "When You Tear Down George Washington and Ulysses S. Grant Statues, It's Not About the Civil War." And finally, I don't know about you, but I've talked to dozens upon dozens of folks from all over the country the past week, and citizens are, they're not only worried about our country and wondering kind of what's going to be necessary to preserve the American way of life, but they're wondering when some elected officials, conservative or Democrat, are going to stand up and grow a backbone and pretend like they care about our nation's past and our nation's assets, which, you know, monuments and statues can be. Here in this article, U.S. Senator from the state of Arkansas, Tom Cotton's talking about, he finally took to the Senate floor the other day and said that we need to have the Department of Justice file charges against these quote-unquote mob vigilantes who tear down and desecrate statues. Here's what he said: "For weeks, violent mobs have roamed our streets, destroying property, in most cases with neither resistance from police nor legal consequences. We can't tolerate mob rule, and we can't allow it to go unpunished. There must be consequences for mob violence, because if you give the mob an inch, they'll take a mile." And one of the things I'm referring to here has gotten a lot of attention in the last 48 hours or so. Some of these Antifa and Black Lives Matter folks up in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., they're trying to tear down a statue of Abraham Lincoln, the man who ended slavery. We've just celebrated Juneteenth the other day, which was the end of the official end of the Civil War and the freeing of the slaves. But this statue up near the White House in Washington, D.C., of Abraham Lincoln was meant to commemorate, and it does commemorate, that 1863 proclamation that Lincoln freed the slaves. The statue was erected in 1876 in Lincoln Park on Capitol Hill, and twice these Antifa and these Black Lives Matter folks have gotten up. Some of you have probably seen it right there at Lafayette Square, directly across the street from the White House. They've had ropes attached to these statues. That one by the White House was of Andrew Jackson, trying to pull it over. Some of you have seen where they've torn down statues in the state of Washington of George Washington and Ulysses S. Grant out there in Portland and Seattle. And this whole idea of the self-autonomous zone in Seattle now spreading, they're trying to do it in Washington, D.C. I'd say thank goodness President Trump called out the National Guard the other day and said he's going to protect these monuments and he's going to not allow an autonomous zone, quote unquote, autonomous zone. What autonomous means is that you're self-secure, you're self-functioning, you're self-regulating, that you don't come under the laws of the nation. You don't come under your local laws. I think some of you may have seen the sign as you're going into that autonomous zone, the CHOP zone or the CHAZ zone up in Seattle, that says you're entering or you're leaving the United States of America, which is just bizarre. In this country, I think Americans are worried about their job this week. They're worried about the vast majority of people that have been laid off in the winter and the spring back in March, looking to have their jobs back, and they're not there to go back to. And the ironic thing is that it hits the most needy and the folks in the lower half of the income spectrum. I saw a clip from the Wall Street Journal on Thursday that's entitled "Return to Full Employment is Urgent for the Poor." When the economy slid into recession in February, it wasn't just the strongest job market in a generation that died, but so did the bold experience of how a tight labor market can reverse a generation of job inequality. And what they're talking about there is how the African-American unemployment rate had gone down so low, how the Hispanic unemployment rate had gone down so low. Well, these are the same folks that have now become unemployed. And here in Texas, we're seeing a little bounce in the coronavirus cases. The important thing to remember there is not the number of cases necessarily, or not the number of hospitalizations, in my humble little opinion, but the number of deaths has still been very stable. And then finally, we had Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer up in Washington playing politics with the issue of police reform. It just is beyond me what they think they can get away with. Senator Tim Scott is an African-American Republican from South Carolina. He was the sponsor of the Senate crime bill. And a Democrat, the number two Democrat in the Senate, Dick Durbin from Illinois, said it was token legislation, as if he's a token Black senator, as if what he's done, and he's been working on this issue for the entire 5 years that he's been in the Senate, and there's no difference hardly between the House and the Senate versions and the Democrat and the Republicans versions. And this week, the Senate refused to even bring the bill up. The way it works in the Senate, getting into the weeds on this, is that you first have to vote to bring up a bill for debate. Once it's been okayed to bring the bill up for debate, then you go and debate the bill before you vote to pass it. Senate Democrats pass or stop the bill from even being debated. And I tell you, if Americans don't realize that's a calculation of pure election year cynicism, I don't know what is. And like I said, Nancy Pelosi accusing Republicans of trying to get away with murder by bringing up what she said was a weak crime bill. I just don't know, folks. I know it's summer and we're not paying too much attention, but Americans are getting concerned, and rightfully so. I got to take a commercial break. We'll come back and visit, as a matter of fact, with our friend and congressional candidate up out of Waco, Pete Sessions, for Congressional District 17, after this short commercial break.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find you get what you need.
Oh, good job there, John. A little bumper music coming back into the second quarter of this week's Texas Insider Show. As we always say, you're either an insider or you're not. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about a half dozen to a dozen articles every day to keep you on the inside of Texas politics. And follow us at Texas Insider, just on Facebook and Twitter, Texas Insider. And as always, appreciate you joining us on your Saturday afternoon as you're driving around. And here again, we're giving you another example, like we like to say, being an insider. As I mentioned in the first segment, we're pleased to be able to visit. Early voting, folks, starts on Monday and goes for 2 weeks. So if you're paying attention to any of the local Austin races, but certainly another big, big race for Texas congressional concerns is up out of Waco and Bryan College Station. As I mentioned in the first segment, we're pleased to be able to visit today with a candidate for Congress up there, Congressman Pete Sessions from Congressional District 17. Appreciate you taking time out and visiting with us today.
Well, this is an important time. Thank you very much. Jim, you talk about the issues and the ideas that are important to Texas, and now perhaps more than ever, it's important as we are losing members of the Republican delegation that are leaving Washington and those that left last time. We need to get experience and knowledge back in Washington.
Amen. It's an intense and some say crazy time. You can't hardly believe some of the stuff coming out of politicians' mouth these days, like Nancy Pelosi the other day saying that Republicans were trying to get away with murder when they wouldn't allow the crime bill to pass. But speaking of important things, Pete Sessions, I want to give you a chance and first offer condolences. I know a lot of folks will be familiar with your father, William Sessions, who passed away a couple weeks ago, and condolences to you and the family. He was the 15th or so director of the FBI through a lot of the late 80s and the early 90s after being appointed by President Ronald Reagan. And I know you've also lost your mother recently too. So insiders in our family, condolences to you and yours. But I thought I might ask you, I know there was a memorial service the other day, you and the family honoring him, and he was a devoted American and fan of the United States of America. Tell us a little bit about the service and what your dad meant to you, and give us a thumbnail on your family if we can.
Jim, thank you very much. What's really interesting is that so many people have grown up for all these years watching Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., the FBI, that was on TV. They were aware of J. Edgar Hoover. Not many people remember Clarence Kelly. They remember Judge Webster before he went to the CIA. My dad was the fourth director of the FBI, and it is a very interesting story. President Ronald Reagan selected Dad as a result of his years of being a federal judge. And, of course, people might remember when Woody Harrelson's dad, Charles Harrelson, assassinated Judge Wood, shot him in the back for Jimmy Chagra. And this was 1979 that resulted in shock waves all through the federal judiciary and law enforcement. And Dad handled all nine of those trials that took place and then became the director of the FBI. And, of course, during his period of time, it was a time of, as always, a transition. He went and made sure, as a result of being judge, that he took care of things that needed to modernize the Bureau. Admissible as evidence was DNA. DNA was not admissible in federal courts, and the FBI labs produced the statistical models and to make sure what would be legal. Secondly, they had fingerprint cards to look at everybody's fingerprint, and he modernized that. They were not even close to doing that, and that was a big undertaking and a project. And, of course, then he made sure that African-Americans and Hispanics and women had more of a role in the FBI, which under today's circumstances, you know, it's probably a good thing that Dad began doing that years ago, to where the Bureau has had that as a problem. Other law enforcement agencies followed, and that's why we have the numbers of African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, and others in our law enforcement organizations that make them right in line with local police and populations, and it's been a good thing. But he passed away about 10 days ago, and yesterday in San Antonio, we had the service at Alamo Heights United Methodist Church. Director Ray was there. Steve McGraw, director of the Department of Public Safety of Texas, was there, and other people, and it was a very fitting ceremony.
I'm sure it was a who's who, and rightfully so. And again, our best to you and the family on that. You mentioned a number of things there, technology into the courtroom. I know you have been a leader in Congress. You talking right here before the show, you and I also have something in common, that we used to throw newspapers, you for the Waco Herald Tribune. You're a Eagle Scout, NRA endorsed, been a born and raised Waco boy, and a real conservative proven leader in Congress prior to this race, Congressman. And I just got to ask you, in general, going through all that family stuff, but how's the campaign going? Is early voting in the coming up next week in the day of the coronavirus, is that going to be a challenge? I know you were number one in the primary back in March before things shut down out of three or four candidates, and now you're in the runoff. What's things looking like on the campaign trail these days?
Thank you. As a matter of fact, it seems like March was a lifetime ago, but March the 3rd was the primary. We received 32%. The second place went to 19%. There were actually 12 people on the ballot, 11 who were actually running. One had stepped off in that period of time. And we had sold not only the agenda of what we were for, but really had a lot of momentum. And then this coronavirus stepped in, and the governor, rightfully so, delayed this from March the 3rd until July the 14th. And then with the hopeful expectation was that we would have a month or two where we could get out and really press the flesh. It's really not happened that way. Born, raised, live in Waco, Texas, so I know where we are. But we're going to have to get our message out and make sure that people know what this election is going to be about, Jim.
I always like to say that America is based on three things, more or less: Christianity, the Constitution, and capitalism. I know you're doing the best you can to press the flesh. Is it a pretty Bible Belt area there? You go in Congressional District 17 from just north of Austin here all the way north to Waco, but then over east to College Station. Is talk about the district for a minute if you can that you're
well thank you
traveling through there.
Jim, it is three larger populations. As you mentioned, McLennan County and Waco, where I grew up and where I live, Brazos mm-hmm. County, which is where I have represented in the past for 8 years, and Pflugerville, mm-hmm. Which is almost right next to where Hutto is, where the newest plant is going to come in. Great for Texas and Texas jobs. But in between that, there are a good number of counties that are there. And some that I have represented in the past, certainly Freestone and Limestone, a little bit of Leon mm-hmm. County is in there, a good part of it, then Robertson mm-hmm. County. Then we have Burleson County. We have Falls County. We have just great people throughout, you know. Milam County, as an example, is home for Drayton McLean. Drayton McLean mm-hmm. is, of course, the name that is very important in this area. Drayton has endorsed me, by the way, so I give way to his trucks.
Congratulations on that endorsement.
Thank you. But Burleson County is there, and we really believe that in this process that the Texas Farm Bureau, which is an important contributor, mostly in the rural areas. Texas 17 is one of the largest ag districts in the country. I have a 22-year record of 100% voting for the Texas Farm Bureau. And of course, as a result of the trade deals that have been accomplished around the world, including with China, as a result of China, $17 billion worth of trade comes out of Texas from 2004. To 2019 out of agriculture. One in three, and this is very interesting, Jim, one in three acres, one in three cows, one in three of the things that we produce that are great here in Texas are part of an overseas production to China. And it's a very important market and has grown not just our farms and ranches, but also our communities. Great people and of course, Fairfield and Jewett all
Congressman,
the communities and Grosbeck.
I got to cut you off there, but hold that thought. I want to get back into some of these issues like agriculture and the policing bill, and who knows what we'll get into. But folks, we're talking to Congressman Pete Sessions. Be sure and check him out at PeteSessions.com. And after news here at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking more about some specific issues like what's going on with Chinese trade, as the congressman's saying, and agriculture and more. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From my front porch, you can you see the sea? I got some oceanfront property in Arizona. If you buy that, I'll throw the Golden Gate in free.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining us on this Saturday afternoon, the last Saturday in the month of June. Where's the year gone as we're suffering through and sheltering in place and social distancing and doing a radio show from off campus here on Talk 1370 KJCE. Appreciate you joining us as you're running around doing some errands, getting ready for summer vacation or whatever this summer. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about 10 or so dozen articles for you every day that you can see what's going on when you want, how you want, where you want. We take the quotes right from the elected officials. Know you get enough opinion and spin on your own throughout the given week, and as we always say, you're either an insider or you're not. And check us out at Facebook and Twitter as well, just at Texas Insider. And again, welcoming our friend to the north and congressional candidate, Congressman Pete Sessions, in a special, or not a special, but a runoff election here, as Monday begins the runoff period for elections that have carried over from March 3rd. And be sure and remember to go visit your local polling place over the next 2 weeks if you want to early vote prior to July 14th. Congressman Pete Sessions, you were born and raised in Waco. You're a graduate of Southwestern, an Eagle Scout, NRA, and Texas Rifle Association endorsed. I know you've got a resume that could take up half a segment here, but I think I saw somewhere the other day, and getting ready to visit, that since 1973, out of all the members of Congress, and for those, I always say, Pete, for those Aggies and people from the left coast, as we're here in Austin, home of the Texas Longhorns, for you Aggies and folks from the left coast, there's 435 members of Congress. And Pete Sessions, I believe I saw that of all the members that have served since 1973, you have passed more legislation than any congressman during that period. How in the heck did you do it? And congratulations on quite a record of accomplishment there.
Thank you very much. As a matter of fact, you've got it pretty much right. We only looked at Texans, but of course, I'm sure. Gosh. I have no doubt that we would be in the entire country.
I stand corrected.
Exactly where we
right there.
So of all the Texans that have served in Congress since 1973, we have passed more legislation off the floor than any other member of Congress from Texas. And that means that the things which I've been asked to do on behalf of the business community, our party, and certainly the interest for conservatives in Washington. When a bill needed to be passed, many times I was asked to do that. It became the legislation that I had to go and work hard. Serving on the Rules Committee never hurt. Being 20 years on the Rules Committee and chairman for 6 years, it meant that our agenda was very, very important. And like anything else, Jim, the pieces of legislation that have to have see the light of day, you got to pass the floor and begin that messaging element of what's important for America.
Well, we've got an article up right now on the Texas Insider website, folks, if you want to check it out, entitled Congressman Sessions' opponent Renee Swan said, "I know what slavery is like. It's like being told in Egypt, you've got to make a brick." And Congressman Pete Sessions, I tell you, this putting the story together like I did in the middle of the week, and things that you hear these days in politics, as I mentioned earlier, old Nancy Pelosi accusing the Republicans of trying to get away with murder with their crime bill. Senate Democrats the other day saying they're for police reform, and then they stonewall the crime bill in the Senate. What in the world is going on here with this opponent of yours? I've imagine that little gap of hers is getting some attention.
Well, it's certainly on the very surface, it's something that not many people could get away with saying, but I can't imagine that a person in our party thinking that way, the sensitivity that we need to have, not only today, but we've needed mm-hmm. to have it for quite some time, to where we do understand that there are people that see things slightly differently. And I don't know that she really understands what slavery is. I think it's an unfortunate comment. It's her comment. It's on video, and it was provided, we've understood, by some other candidate who was in this race who was shocked by it.
Gotcha. I think she was referring to Obamacare and how Obamacare was hindering small businesses, of which she's one, a small business owner, but, like we've been saying, the comments in this crazy, intense period of racial injustice or rioting and destruction of national monuments and the like, and referring to something as slavery, I've got a feel for making a gaffe like that. But let's also talk about some of the record that she's got. I know there was a little flare up here a month or so ago as you've been pressing the flesh and trying to get your message out. And again, folks, we're visiting with Congressman Pete Sessions, who's running for Congressional District 17 up out of Waco and College Station in Pflugerville, for you early voters, that's starting next week. Believe she said, Pete, that she had in fact voted for Hillary Clinton back in 2008 in the Democrat primary. Tell us a little bit if you're having any fun with that, I guess is the way I'll put it.
Well, I think, Jim, that what's important is in a primary that you do understand, and we understand, that your voting record is important. And mm-hmm. and if you're going to run as a Republican, you really need to make sure you are a Republican, that you've been for the Republican events, that you show up at Republican county events, that you show up at state conventions, that you give money,
Amen.
That you are faithful to our party, which I have done now for all these 30 plus years. What I would say is that one of our candidates in the primary went back and looked at her voting record and found out that she had voted in the Democratic primary in 2008, went and,
wow.
and said something about it. She quickly came back and said, yes, I did. I voted. Rush Limbaugh told us to go vote, and I voted for Hillary against Barack Obama. God. And
okay.
because that's what Rush was asking for. We simply bring that up again because we believe it is relevant. And now she says, that's not true. She voted for Donald Trump, not Hillary Clinton. And that is not just putting it off on us by calling me a liar. That's actually what she should say is, yes, I did vote in the primary, in the Democratic
yeah.
primary, and admit to what she did. But once again, she blamed me for letting
yeah.
people know she'd done this. It is a bad thing. I have never voted for a Democrat. I've never voted in a Democratic primary. And you'd have to certainly wonder why someone would vote for someone who, in my opinion, is the equivalent of Jane Fonda and Nancy Pelosi, and that is Hillary Clinton. And I could not even
yeah.
ever envision even admitting that I would even think about voting for them. But that's the way she voted, and that's what she said.
Okay, folks, we're visiting with former congressman and now a candidate again for Congress up in Congressional District 17, Pete Sessions. Be sure and check him out at Sessions for Congress on Facebook, or his website is just petesessions.com. Pete, we got about 2 minutes left here. I want to ask you about some of the coronavirus impact. I know a lot of folks have been focusing on China. I know a lot of folks have been focusing on just getting back to work. Is China an issue, or talk about the importance of jobs in the district if you can? Give us a little a little taste of what's going on in that district.
Well, the taste of what's going on here is that you remember in 2017, Republicans, of which I was chairman of the Rules Committee, passed a tax bill that positioned America to be the strongest we have ever been. And before coronavirus, not only our stock market, but the job market was strong and roaring. And we are upset with China. And China is, I think, appropriately being taken on in this matter. We've seen that these other countries are not open. They don't accept the responsibility. But we have an obligation to bring back jobs in this country, to support our farmers and ranchers in the communities. And that's what this vote in Congress is about. It's about someone who's able to go and effectively lead from day one. I was asked to do this by three county chairmen who asked me to come and be a part of this. And we're going to do that. But the coronavirus is not bigger than we are in personal responsibility. And wearing masks and being careful is important. My oldest son is a physician, and he said, "Dad, eventually everybody is going to get this until we get the herd immunity." But he said the name of the game is we want to get it done a little bit at a time to where we are not overloading our hospital system. And he said, and so you just need to be careful, Dad, but everybody's going to get this. We act like that nobody should get it. We act like that this is something that's not going to happen. We need to protect ourselves, but we equally need to protect our economy and the things that are important in this world, including our families and the things that make America strong.
Okay, well, Congressman, we appreciate you spending part of your Saturday afternoon. I know we got 2 weeks until July 14th. We wish you the best of luck, and after your hopefully successful campaign, we hope you'll come back and join us again.
Love to. Hope to do well enough to get invited back, and that's what today was about.
Okay, folks, be sure and check out Pete Sessions for Congress at PeteSessions.com and Facebook at Sessions for Congress. Congressman, thanks a ton. And folks, we got a short commercial break, and we'll come back and kind of summarize some of the other things that have been going on this last week and what's maybe coming up next week. Right here on the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We'll be right back.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, good job there, John. A little happy bumper music coming back in for this week's final segment of the Texas Insider Show. Appreciate you joining us on this Saturday afternoon, the final Saturday in the month of June. Where's the first half of the year gone? But welcome back to the final quarter of the Texas Insider Show, everybody. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Talk 1370, high atop the worldwide headquarters over here in West Austin, except when we're doing our show from home, like a lot of you, sheltering in place, which is an oxymoron that doesn't make much sense to me, or social distancing, which is two words as well, being the opposite thing. But be sure and check us out at TexasInsider.org online, where we keep you up to speed on Texas and national politics, as well as Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider Show. And many thanks again to our special guest there, Congressman Pete Sessions, who's, as we talked about, running for the 17th congressional district up out of Waco and over to College Station. And I got to remind you all, ladies and gentlemen, there's a number of runoff elections here in the Austin area, including at the state house level. You all know some of those important races that you've been following. Early voting starts on Monday, the 29th. and runs for 2 weeks through Friday, July 10th, before the runoff election being held on Tuesday, July 14th. So expect to be getting some phone calls as the campaigns try and turn out the vote in these hotly contested races, try and jump over the hurdle of getting people to pay attention while we're all on summer vacation, but particularly just out of work or trying to keep our heads above water and looking at the unemployment figures and some of the concerns about the bump in the coronavirus numbers. But Pete Sessions from Congressional District 17, be sure and check him out on Facebook at Sessions for Congress or on his website at PeteSessions.com. And I got to wrap up a couple odds and ends here, as I always do, try and give you some logic and reason and maybe even a little bit of truth. The other thing that I hadn't talked about here so far during the first segment before our discussion with Pete Sessions was the rally that President Trump had in Tulsa last week. Some people have been saying, if you're from the left, saying it was a failure because he didn't fill up the stadium. He had 12,000 people in what I believe was a 17,000 person venue up in Tulsa, and he did raise some money on it. And then you had Joe Biden the other day come out of his basement and have a little press availability and make some comments with a nice little brick wall behind him. But these polls lately, I've just got to reinforce and remind all you Texas insiders, at this stage of the game, I'm having to do it on a daily basis, and I'll tell you the same thing. In my humble little opinion, you don't need to worry about politics or whether your guy or gal's going to win or lose in November until about the beginning of October or the middle of October, frankly. I was telling somebody the other day, how long has it been since you personally even thought of the word impeachment? Well, impeachment was what's taken up the first 3 years of the Trump presidency all the way up into December of last year. And here we are just 4 or 5 or 6 months later. We don't even think of impeachment. I'm not necessarily sure that the coronavirus, with a little luck, our economy will rebound, and we may be thinking of the coronavirus long in the rearview mirror. Donald Trump, at his rally up in Tulsa, he raised a nice little chunk of $10 million, which I think has got to be viewed at being a success. I saw something the other day. There's a lot of discussion right now whether Trump's got the mojo or Biden's got the mojo, just sheltering in place as he is. But he had a fundraiser the other day, Joe Biden did, with guest of honor Barack Obama, of all people, and they raised about $7.6 million at that event the other night, which was mostly high-dollar donors who wanted access and rubbing elbows with former President Barack Obama. So this last week, let's just make it simple and say that Donald Trump and the Republican National Committee raised about $10 million and his stop through Tulsa, and Joe Biden and the Democrat National Committee and Barack Obama raised about $7.6 million. And then I saw an article the other day that the headline read, Trump Victory Campaign Crushing Democrats in Texas. And I know a lot of us have been hearing about activities going on across the state where Democrats think they've got a chance. I'm just not going to believe it till I see it, folks. I know there's about 45% Republicans, about 38% Democrats. If you look at the statewide elections from 2 years ago and the rest are independents, that's an awful high hill to climb. But the Trump campaign said it's got made over a million voter contact phone calls just in Texas the other day. Quote, the Texas Trump Victory Campaign is operating the most advanced campaign in history of the Lone Star State, said Trump Victory spokesman Samantha Cotton. With an army of volunteers who share sky-high enthusiasm, the 1 millionth phone call milestone is a testament to their dedication, and our team is trained and ready to elect Donald Trump and Republicans up and down the ticket. So I don't know if you believe what you see in the mainstream media. The Beto O'Rourke name popped up the other day, even. I think he has been doing some emailing, carrying his old campaign structure forward. They hadn't been successful in some special elections, but if Donald Trump's out there raising money, and he has substantially, the Republican Party is substantially outraising the Democrat Party right now. I just can't believe that the summer's going to go by. Again, don't worry about things unless you want to. If you're making a living off it like myself, we do it on a daily basis and consider it cheap entertainment. But otherwise, this summer's going to go by. The polls are going to come out as they have been the last week, all showing Donald Trump down anywhere from 5 to 14 points to Joe Biden. And I just got to remind you about this thing that I've talked about before, and it's called social desirability bias, where, and it's a big, big problem for pollsters these days who are having enough trouble as it is getting people to answer their telephones. It's against the law for auto dialers to be dialing your cell phones, and people don't realize that. But folks aren't answering the phone, and then when they do, they don't want to tell people person to person on a phone call what their thinking is because of what they, again, refer to as social desirability. And that is, in simple terms, we don't want to be affiliated or seen as being a member of a group that's looked upon disfavorably. And you got to admit that with the craziness sweeping the nation and people being torn down left and right, and being called out for trying to even do something as common sense as defend America, it's a real problem. We've got an article on the Texas Insider page entitled, "Will Trump's Stealth Voters Be His Secret Weapon in 2020 as Happened in 2016? And it talks about a number of interviewees who have given up talking to their family, given up talking to their neighbors. And they say, we don't want to have a target on our back. We don't want to be the subject of discrimination. So this is a real thing. The campaigns are going to be trying to figure out, as the economy reopens, how to get back on the campaign trail. The media, of course, is going to be working hand in glove, as I always call them, the sock puppet media, with the Democrat Party to tear down America. And I just am to the point where I think Americans are going to check out for a little bit. We are going to be concerned for our country because there's a lot of destruction going on. And the Democrats, meanwhile, are going to try and moralize us into shame, which is not a winning argument. So I got to put a plug in the jug, folks. Thanks, John, for producing the show. Thank you for Congressman Pete Sessions. Check him out at petesessions.com. And have a great week up until the 4th of July. We'll talk to you next week, folks.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.